Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Can I Trust God? Most Christians believe that God loves them, but they have difficulty when it comes to trusting Him to take care of them. Abraham was no exception. He was your typical religious guy who was more concerned about his life than what God was doing. Abraham had no real understanding that God wanted to build a family which would eventually become a nation to receive the future Messiah. Jesus personally visited Abraham and shared a meal with him. Abraham later lied to King Abimelech, and God's prophet was scolded for his moral failure by an idolatrous king. 4 decades later, Abraham had finally reached the point where he trusted God completely. This message is entitled, 40-Year Faith Journey. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And this is our first Sunday in the month of May, and we are very happy to have you here with us. And we are praising God that we have a nice chapel group here today that is a live group. So we are just praising God. We're going to pray right now. So those in the chapel, would you stand with us as we pray? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for this opportunity we have to be able to pray, to seek your face, and to bring a message from the Word of God. And I pray right now for the Holy Spirit to not only move here in the chapel, Father God, but also to move in all different parts of the United States and other nations, Father, as people are watching us, praying with us, and seeking your face. And I thank you right now for a great anointing. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to start, if you got a Bible, we're going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. So let me read to you from the outline here. It took a long time for Abraham to trust God. Abraham was chosen by Jesus to start a family that would be used to usher in the Messiah. God knew that Abraham was flawed. Abraham operated in great fear, but he was encouraged, but he was courageous at the same time. Now, Jesus is in the business of shaping men and women to become godly vessels. And he was patient with a man he selected. Now, Abraham, his name was Abraham, but he was selected out. He was not necessarily a great person per se. He was more or less a religious person. And Abraham was just like you and I. We start out in life. We stumble along and we wonder, why am I here? What are we going to do? And you make mistakes. Sometimes you don't pay for the mistakes. And I want to share with you today that God is in a business. He's in the restoration business. In Romans chapter 8, verses number 26, we read this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You that are watching us today, and those of you that are in the chapel, I want you to notice that you are a very privileged group of people. We have some between 7 and 8 billion, I never can figure it out, how many billions we got of people. We've got a lot of people here on this earth. And I would say this, that 95% of the earth population do not know God, are not born again. They will die, they will end up in hell, and they will forever be tormented. So you really should simply say this, I'm very privileged because few people are born again. Few people will go to heaven. Most people die in their sins and end up in hell. Those are terrible facts, but that's the way it is. Now, most Christians do not really appreciate their salvation. We complain. I need more money. I want a better car. I want this. I want that. And God is simply saying, be thankful for what you have. Be thankful that you are going to heaven. That you have eternity with me, not in a lake of fire. Now, Abraham did not know what God was doing. He's just like you and I. He was just stumbling along. And Abraham was a rich guy. His dad was rich, so he was also rich. Had lots of camels, horses, donkeys, sheep, cattle. It is estimated he had about 1,000 people that he employed. Abraham and Sarah were not walking alone. It was about 1,000 people. It was more or less like a huge mobile business as he moved around. So his focus was on Sarah. He had a bastard son, Lot. He had a bastard son, which was Ishmael. He thought about Lot and the people in Florida, the flocks of camels, cattle, sheep, and other domestic animals. Abraham was a typical man who believed in God, but at the same time had no idea what God was doing. He was unaware of God, had a great plan. Abraham was an everyday Joe who wasn't spiritually minded. Look in Romans 8, verses 5. For they that after the flesh do mind of things of the flesh, but they that after the spirit the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You so be the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now Abraham had the Bible, what they had of the Bible to that day. He had the books of Enoch, and he knew there was a God, the Father, God the Son, and he knew about the Holy Spirit. So, Abraham had knowledge. Those of you that are watching us today, you have probably more than one Bible in your house. If you're going to be honest, most of you have not read much in the Bible. You might have read a little bit here and there, but you have not really sat down and said, I'm going to read the Bible. What has God done? What is God doing? What is he doing in the future? No, we just meander around. And, you know, when something happened, you know what we do? Most people never pray. When something happened, here's what happened. Oh, God! I'll need you. We only pray when we got pain. If you don't have pain, everything is going fine. Who needs to pray to God? We don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. I mean, I got so many important things to do. I got to watch this show here, you know, and I got to go over here. I got my boat. I got this. I got that. I'm busy, God. Just bless me, God, and leave me alone. That's pretty much how most Christians live. It's sad. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, so you got to understand now that Abram had Genesis, the beginning of it. He did not have the rest of it. He didn't write his own story at this time. And in Genesis 1:1-2, we read this, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then in 26:27, the same chapter, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So, Abram was pretty much like you and I are today. He knew this. He knew about the creation. Knew about the flood. He knew about Noah. And he simply, you know, said, well, I got riches, I got this, I got that, and I'm just going to live my life out. And God was knocking on him and saying, hey, Abraham, I got a plan for you. I want to use you. And Abraham said, well, okay, Lord. He was not that excited. Turn to Genesis 18 right now. Genesis chapter 18. And I want you to understand now what God is doing. So, in the Old Testament, it was Jesus that created the heavens and the earth. It was Jesus that created Adam and Eve. And it is Jesus that is dealing with Abraham. And Jesus decided this, I need to talk to Abraham in person. So imagine this now. Actually, don't imagine, but you think about this now. We have Jesus, the Son of God, came down in the form of a man, which he's done before, and he had with him two angels. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in a tent during the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes, and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself to the ground. Here was Abraham there, with his tent. Sarah had her tent. There's probably at least another 100 tents. There were cattle pens, all kind of different things. It was a huge camp. And Abraham almost lived in the tent. And if you've been in the Middle East, it's hot. And he was sitting there in the heat of the day in the tent opening, just waiting for it to get cooled down a little bit. And then suddenly, he sees three men coming. Now, his eyes are opened and he recognizes. This is the Son of Man. That's what Enoch wrote in his book, The Son of Man. This is the Creator. Can you imagine Jesus coming to your house? You knock on the door. He knocks on the door. You open it up, and here is Jesus and two angels. What would you do? Well, Abraham bowed down. Verse number 3, and he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass me not away, I pray you, from your servants." Now, everyday Joe now recognized, this is special. I got the Son of Man here, Jesus. I don't want you to pass. I mean, I want some blessings from you. So he said, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourself under the tree." Now, he didn't have a mansion. He said, "There's a nice tree there. There might have been some canopies there, whatever." And he said, "Can you rest there for a little bit? And I will get some water. I will fetch you a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." You've been camping. Most of us have been camped from time to time. You know, when you're camping, it's dirty. Our feet are dirty. There's always dust around, you know. And it's not the hygiene we have when we have our kitchens in our homes. And here now is a Creator being offered a dinner by a mortal man. And I want you to see now, Jesus' heart. And Jesus said, "Fine, go and prepare the meal." Now, this was not like you go to McDonald's or In-N-Out where you get your food in about 4 to 5 minutes. We were talking about preparation time of 3 hours. I read on. "And Abram hastened into the tent of the Sarah and said, 'Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal needed to make cakes upon the hearth.' So he got up baking. Abram ran out unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, gave it to the young man, and he hasted to dress it." Now that calf had to be butchered. They had to take the hide off. They had, you know, to cut out, you know, what the meat they want to have. That took some time. They got to make a fire. They got to barbecue this thing and so on. And so it took some time, probably 2-3 hours. And I want you to see now Jesus sitting under a tree and just waiting, giving Abraham and his wife time. And that's what he will do to you and me. God really gives us time. He shows us what we need. He's patient with us. "And he took butter and milk and a calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." Now Jesus had an agenda. He was there with a very purpose, and that was to let Abraham know that Sarah is going to be pregnant. She's going to have a child. So, imagine now Abraham standing there watching his Jesus, eating bread, putting butter on it, having some meat, have some water, drinking. And then Jesus wiped his mouth, and he said unto him in verse 9, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And Abram said, "She's in the tent behind here." And Jesus said, "I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, should have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Sarah was about 90 years old. Abram was close to it. He was 99. Verse 11, "Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, And it ceased to be reserved after the manner of women. She had no more menstruation. It had stopped. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Notice now, Jesus can read your thoughts. The angels can read your thoughts. The devil can read your thoughts. Demons can read your thoughts. And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I for sure to bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at the few words there. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you have faith to have a headache healed? Do we have faith to have a cold healed? Do we have faith to have cancer healed? Does it matter how badly things are? Or, like Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. He was decaying. He was stinking. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What you and I have done is we put God in a box. We think according to our thoughts. It says, well, God can probably do this, but this would be too hard for him. And so we limit God. Soterius coined a phrase some time ago. And he said this, you do the possible, and God will do the impossible. At the time appointed, I will return to you, according to the time of life, 9 months, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked over towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. Now, Sarah refused to say, no, I did laugh. She didn't have faith. She was a religious woman. There's a lot of religious people. They believe in God. They believe the Bible, the Word of God. But they're not born again. They don't have any faith. Notice now that God, or actually Jesus, didn't say, well, because Sarah, you don't have any faith, I guess you're not going to have a baby. But God had a plan, like we shared before when I started out. The plan was Sarah was going to have a son. He was going to be called Isaac. So catch this here and there. When God wants you to do something, and you might not necessarily agree to it, or you might not necessarily think you want to do it, if God wants it, it will be done. I used to have a statement like this. If you don't have the right key to the door, then the key will be conformed to the door lock, and it will work. With other words, what I'm telling you is this. God will squeeze you, mold you, until you are done. Until you will do what he wants you to do. He will use pain. He will use circumstances. Let me give you one short illustration. It was 1963. My wife and I have just arrived in this country from Sweden. I was an immigrant, and I needed a job. I've been looking for a job a long time. And finally, we saw in the paper there was a Midas muffler shop. And they said, you have an opening. So my wife packed me a little lunch, didn't have a car. I walked about 15 blocks in Salt Lake City. That's where we lived. Got to the shop, and the guy said, yeah, we were glad to have you. So he said, you know, just come on in. Gave me some gloves and stuff, you know, and he started working. So I worked all day. So I thought, praise God, I got a job. I wasn't even saying praise God because I was not walking with God. I just said, you know, I'm glad I got a job. 5 o'clock came, and the supervisor came and said, John, here's a check for today. We don't need you anymore. This morning, when you came in, there was another guy came in. He's worked for Midas in another state. He got several years' experience. We're going to take him because you have no experience. Thank you very much. Now, I got maybe $18 for a day's work in those days. I walked 15 blocks home, and I simply said, you know, the world has fallen apart. I lost the job. It's over. No, it wasn't over. God had a job for me. I had a degree in engineering. He had a job for the state of Utah in a nice office with air conditioning. And he had it lined up for me. I went to Midas in the flesh. So he simply had to be fired first day, sitting around, and a few days later, I got an interview, I got the new job, and I realized this is better than Midas. But when I was going to Midas, my heart was set on that, my thought went on that. So remember this, if you're going in the wrong direction, God will jank you out. You get fired. You get this move, that happened, and so on. And then, you know, you shake up and says, okay, now what? And God said, okay, this is the way you should go. I want you to see verse number 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? God wanted, Jesus wanted Abraham to be part of his plan. God wants you to be part of his plans. Verse 18, see that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations on the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children's household unto him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So Jesus now said, Abraham, come here. I want to talk to you. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will come down now, see what they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know it. Abraham now remembered Enoch. He remembered Noah preaching for 100 years. He remembered the flood. He saw Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at these cities. And Abraham realized they're going to be judged. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, Abraham got spiritual here. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, he was praying. Praying is talking to God. He just so happened that Jesus was next to him. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Notice now, In the book of Enoch, the Son of Man is also called the Judge of the Earth. Jesus is the Judge of the Earth. Amen. Abraham knew what he was talking about. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous men within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And then you find in the rest of the verses here that Abraham is bargaining. Peradventure that shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 45 people? And he said, I will find them 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And said to him, O let not the Lord be angry, I will speak, peradventure there should be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 30. He said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure there should be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy for the 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, I will speak yet but once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way, as soon as he left communion with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham now interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. That should teach you and me to intercede for the nation we live in. Have you interceded? Are you asking God on a daily basis to spare us, to pour His Spirit out, to convict people of their sins? Most of us are too busy. We pray for our own personal needs, but we don't pray for the nation. Now, I'm on page 2 in the outline. Abram still did not trust God. And we're going to turn on to chapter 20. So, the day after, it says Abraham looked and he saw the smoke. He realized these cities have been destroyed. If you go to this area today, you will find that even the rocks have melted. There was a catastrophic. It is similar to if you have a hydrogen bomb, at least 10 or 15 hydrogen bomb that just melted the area. I mean, when God let the fire come down, it was real. We can see it 4,000 years later if you walk in it. That area never recovered. And Abraham saw that. I'll read now from Genesis 21. And Abram journeyed from thence to the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar, which is a city kingdom. So he's fresh now. He served Jesus dinner. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He walked by and he saw the destruction. And he realized, well, God has some power. But notice now, in verse 2, and Abram said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abraham did not have faith. He had a beautiful wife. The custom was in those days, if somebody had a beautiful wife and the king saw it, he simply said, I don't care if you're married or not. I want that woman. They just go and pick her up and take her to the king. And then they kill the man. And Abraham said, you know, I don't want to die. So Sarah, tell them, you are my sister. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in your integrity and the heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I you not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you shall restore her not, know you that you shall surely die, you and all that are thine. Now the king realized, I got this lying guy here, he's a liar, but he's a prophet. Now, you and I, if the angels look upon us, we're a sorry bunch of people. Some days we are very spiritual. Some days we're moving in the flesh. Some days we got faith like a mountain. Other days we got no faith at all. We're humans. That's how we are. And what we got to do is this, we got to learn. In myself, I cannot pull myself up by the bootstraps. Faith comes from God. What we can do is, we can ask God, help me, and he will help us. No one in himself can say, I'm going to build up some faith. You can't do that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So Abimelech called Abraham in the morning and said to him, what have you done unto us? And what have I offended you that you have brought to me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what say you that you have done the thing? Here's Abraham now. He knew he lied. He knew he let God down. He knew he didn't have any faith. He's a prophet. What he did was this. He recognized his sins. He kind of repented. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God not in his place, and he would slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she's my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God called me to wander from my father's house, and I said to her, this is your kindness which you shall show unto me at every place where you shall come. Say unto me, he's my brother. What a marriage. The promise Abraham said, yeah, I married you, Sarah, but remember now you're too good looking. Wherever we go, you always say, he's my brother, because I don't want to get killed. Perpetual lying. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servant and women servant, and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you, dwell where it pleases you. And to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. Behold, he is to you a covering of the eyes, and to all that are with you. And with all other, thus she was reproved. Now, Abraham knew he had been doing wrong. But you see, here's a gift we have. Repent. And when you repent, you're restored. So Abraham prayed unto God. God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant. They bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, if we go down here on page number 2, we would talk about Abraham's libido. Even though Sarah was 89 years old, Abimelech thought she was so beautiful that he took her to the palace. I believe that Abram and Sarah made love regularly after the birth of Isaac, until her death 37 years later. Given the fact that Abraham remarried and had other women in his life. Turn to Genesis chapter 23. And we read this. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. In chapter 25, we read this, that Abraham remarried. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Six boys that he had. And then we also read here, furthermore, in verse 6, but to the son of the concubines which Abram had, Abraham gave gifts, sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now I want to put in here an understanding that I want you to have. Abraham knew that God had told him Isaac is a seed. I don't believe that God wanted Abraham to have any more children. But we have a free will. And Abraham simply had sexual desire. And he decided, well, Sarah's dead, you know, I need another wife. And he got a wife. And she got pregnant six times. He was not enough with her. He also got concubines, even slave women. And he got them pregnant. He got a bunch of children. When you get children, you are responsible for that child. What did Abraham do? It says this in verse number 6. But to the sons of the concubine that Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, but he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Abraham knew God. He knew about the Son of Man. But he took these children. They were probably now 15, 20 years old when he sent them away. And he sent them eastward. He was not concerned about their salvation. He was not concerned about that they would know God. He knew about hell. He knew about that. But Abraham was selfish. He knew that he had messed up, so he tried to fix it by sending his children away to save Isaac, to get the promise. Now, when this was written, they didn't know about DNA. And where did these children go? Well, in the last few years, as a lot of people have been testing, a lot of people have been testing for DNA, they found out that the Brahmas in India, this is the highest caste you have in India, are descendants of Abraham. The DNA shows that, because they took DNA samples of Jewish people that they know are in the bloodline, and they took samples of the Brahmins in India, and it's a match. What are the Brahmins known for? They're the Hindu priests. They are the ones that are leading everyone to hell in India with Hinduism and all the other religions. You see the curse? Because Abraham did not say, all right, children, you cannot be part of the inheritance, but I want you to know about God. I want to teach you so that you can teach your children. I don't want you to get lost. Amen. So many people today have no responsibilities. They don't think. Now, Abraham is saved. Abraham is in heaven. He was in paradise when Jesus came down there. But I know this, based on the Bible, at the great white throne judgment, when Abraham's descendants for the last 4,000 years are standing there and they are sentenced to the lake of fire, they're going to look and say, Abraham, you did not tell us. You didn't love us. You got your pleasure. But we are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire because you did not care. There's going to be a lot of Christians in heaven. And we're going to be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. And then when the great white throne judgment starts, we're going to be there in the bleachers. And you're going to see people that you worked with, people you went to school with, people that worked at the gas station. You're going to see them stand there. And they're going to be sent to the lake of fire. And they're going to turn and look and say, I thought you were my friend. We did things together. You talked to me every day. But you were not my friend. Because you never told me about Jesus. You're not my friend. You are my enemy. And now, you're going to be in heaven forever. And I'm going to be in the lake of fire forever. Is that right? No, it's not right. You see, you and I carry a great responsibility. And most of us don't even think about it. Because they don't preach about this. So you don't know. You think you're doing great. But we need to be ready to witness at any time. Let's quickly look at Genesis chapter 21 now. Genesis chapter 21. First 8 verses. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, as his set time which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made us me to laugh, so that all here would laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abram made a great feast, the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, when we sin, there are consequences. Last week, where I spoke about Abraham simply didn't believe God, so he went into Hagar, got her pregnant, and he got Ishmael. And so when we have sinned, there are consequences. So the road will be bumpy. In verse number 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which had born to Abraham, mocking. Now the boy was mocking. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, Sarah had a spirit of jealousy. She's the one that initiated for Abraham to go in and get Hagar pregnant. But she simply was angry. When you sin, there are consequences. Sarah didn't think it through. And now she got a problem. And she simply says, cast this woman out. Throw the child out. I don't care if they die. Get them out of my hair. That's a pretty bad attitude. I'm going to share something with you that is hard for me to share. But I will share it with you because I want you to understand what you and I need to do. My wife today is in the care home. My wife has dementia, Alzheimer's. She's not even recognized me anymore. And the reason she got that was this. As a pastor's wife, we had jealousy. And I tried to deal with that over the years. I was not strong enough. I should have put my foot down much harder. But she had jealousy. And when we had women in the church, particularly if they're not married, she would be very uncomfortable. And the spirit of jealousy would come in, and she would think that, you know, I was attracted to these women. So she persecuted them. She ran them off. She did some awful things that I found out later. And I tried to deal with that. And she wouldn't repent. She would not give up her jealousy. That's why she's sitting today in the care home. I asked God. I said, God, can you heal her? And the Holy Spirit spoke very distinctly to me. I can heal her and bring her back. But we still had a problem with the jealousy. She's not going to come back. So what I want you to understand is this. You can do things and think you get away with it. But one day, if you don't repent, the hammer will come down. And when the hammer comes down, it will smash you. It will be awful. But most people do not want to repent. Some of the women that she hurt the most, I finally was able to find telephone numbers to them. And I called them up and I said, on behalf of my wife and me, can you forgive us for what we did, actually what my wife did? But I was part of it because I allowed it. And I got peace. You got to forgive. If you've done something, you got to repent. You got to forgive. My time is up. So I'm not going to get into the final test today. But I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And read verses 5 and 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. When you were in your mother's womb, it was through the navel that nourishment came in. When we walk with the Lord, it shall be health. And the marrow in our bones, that's where you have the immune system. The red and the white blood cells are made in the bone marrows. What do I want you to take home with you today? I want you to, let's look in Matthew chapter 6 here. Matthew chapter 6. And we take verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Going back to my wife. She's a prayer warrior. She prayed more than I did. She was a singer. I would come home. She'd be in a bedroom. I hear her sing. She'd been praying there for maybe a couple of hours. I just found out of her notebook yesterday. And she studied and she wrote down so many different things. She did deliverances. She prayed with a lot of people. She could be very sweet. But we had that spirit of jealousy. And I remember, I said, I'm going to pray for the spirit of jealousy. I don't have any jealousy. I'm going to pray for it. See, this is what can happen to you. You're saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. She had the gift of praying in tongues. But I couldn't get that demon out. You can still have a demon. And she would not admit, yes, I'm jealous. Yes, I've done wrong. I will repent. So even with all the good stuff she's done, she led many people to Christ. She's not paying for it in the care home. Well, she can't walk anymore. She just sits around all day. She's like a baby. They had to feed her, change her. She's gone. She can't pray anymore. I share it with you, hoping that we shake some of you, that you will realize there can be no pet sins. You can't have any sins that you're petting. They got to go. So that's what I want you to take home with today. Abraham wavered in and out. God worked with him. But there were consequences. You have a chance today to simply, this afternoon or whenever, be alone. Just go to God and say, God, search my heart. Show me what's in my heart. And help me to repent. I don't want to have anything of sin. I want to be free. Amen. And God will meet you. God will touch you. The Holy Spirit will work with you. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. Here's a bonus scripture, and then I'm done. And this is from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can fool me. You can fool yourself. But you can't fool God. So I pray that today you would search your heart. Put the light on it. Make sure there's nothing there that shouldn't be there. And then you can begin to soar. Do you think that it's easy for me to tell my wife and my life? No. But just like Abraham, he was humiliated in front of Abimelech. And he had to eat crow. And I too have to eat crow. God, I ask for forgiveness. I'm moving on. I'm going to do what I can do the rest of my life out. But there got to come a time of honesty when we recognize that this needs to be dealt with. You that are watching right now, you might say, well, I have never even received Christ. Well, this is your opportunity. If you're convicted of your sins right now, what you need to do is simply say, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection I can be saved. Forgive me, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, and save me right now. And he will come in and save you. When we finish here, on your screen, you will see after the last prayer here, you will see the screen change. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles. And he will say, my friend. And then he would share with you about salvation and pray with you. And you can be saved right there. If you make that decision today, would you contact us? Let us know so we can pray with you, encourage you. And we'll rejoice with you. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, and you have done everything that is correct, God bless you. Pray for those that are still struggling. And hopefully, if you're one of those that said, man, I got hit between the eyeballs today, please take this afternoon to seek the Lord. Get it right and avoid the mistake that I and my wife did in our lives. May God bless you. Here's Brother Charles, here's Pastor Charles to lead us in a closing prayer.
Father God, we are mindful of the fact that our time here on this earth is, it could feel long, but in relation to eternity, it's a blink of an eye. And Father God, all of us at some point will have to stand in front of you. And we will have to give an account of what it is that we did or did not do. And so Father God, as we have some examples here from Abraham's life and the successes that he had and the failures that he had. And his life seems like it's mirroring Noah's, that he started out strong and then kind of petered out toward the end. And so, Father God, I'm just mindful of that. And so my prayer is that we would know that this life is a race and that we take off and we're running and we're doing well. But, Father God, help us to finish well. That when we cross the finish line, we will not look back and say, man, I have so many regrets. That we would be able to look back and instead say, God, I am so pleased with, you know, the things that I did. Father God, we want to be able to hear you praise us and not bring words of reproof and condemnation against us for what it is that we failed or did not do. So, Father, help us to just be mindful of these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, Can I Trust God?, and was entitled, 40-Year Faith Journey. Most Christians believe that God loves them, but they have difficulty when it comes to trusting Him to take care of them. Abraham was no exception. He was your typical religious person who was more concerned about his own self than what God was doing. Abraham had no real understanding that God wanted to build a family which would eventually become a nation to receive the future Messiah. Jesus personally visited Abraham, shared a meal with him, and explained the promised heir was finally coming. Jesus wanted Abraham involved in his work on earth and told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was concerned about innocent people being killed and acted like an attorney to negotiate a deal for them.
Later, he lied to King Abimelech, and God's prophet was scolded for his moral failure by an idolatrous king. Jesus was very patient with Abraham. It took 4 decades before this Chaldean from the lineage of Shem finally reached the place where he trusted God completely. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1754. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.